Batch of Batch. Night gathers, and now our podcast begins. It shall not end until we're done talking. We are
the princes that were promised.
And hello, welcome to the princes that were promised, the wardens of Long Island, the watchers on the couch, the lords of chit chat. It's me, it's Shawnee Wan, and with me is John, and John is here to settle the debate on, what do we want to call it, the kingly name that Jon Snow,
the official title,
the stylization.
We agreed that you have to name king, officially name king to carry the name. So like,
you're only Aegon with the number if you were king,
right?
But if you are not king, then you're just another. Right. You're just another Aegon.
You're just Jaehaerys, or you're just Aegon. And we agreed that Aegon, Elias Aegon, was never officially titled. That would make then that Jon would have the potential, if he were to become king, to be named Aegon the Sixth.
Because Aegon the Fifth was Aegon the Unlikely. Aegon the Fourth was Aegon the Unworthy. Second and third, I think, are irrelevant to most of Westerosi history. Aegon the First being Aegon the Conqueror.
And I think that would be, for the show, would be the technical term for him. But it will be different in the books.
Yes.
In the books, the Aegon young griff that we see, yeah, we call him here the Prince of the Promise, we call him Fagin, but he will be named king.
As John has said many times, the storyline you see Cersei in Game of Thrones.
The only wild card is then what is Cersei in the books? That's the only wild card. But I just definitely think that Fagin will sit the Iron Throne in some fashion. In some way,
I believe
in
so
some time frame, he will sit the Iron Throne.
What the fuck?
He's not going to end there.
But what's the point of him if he doesn't sit the Iron Throne? What's the point of the character?
Right.
He's the fake dragon, and people are cheering for him in Daenerys' vision in the House of the Undying.
It's got to be Daenerys that finds this. You would assume that Dany would be the one that reaches conflict.
Side note, as far as Barristan Selmy, if he's still around when Daenerys meets Fagin, a lot easier to figure out that it's Fagin, I would think. So I don't know if Fagin sitting the Iron Throne speaks well to Barristan Selmy still being around at that point in A Song of Ice and Fire. Mm-hmm. Just a complete side note, but who will she have to counsel her that is not Aegon Targaryen? Furthermore, you would think at this point in time Tyrion would be with her, right? Do you think maybe Tyrion? No, he has to. There's no way Tyrion can get back to Aegon, and that's how he meets Daenerys, is by counseling Aegon, right?
I would think that Tyrion will be with Dany.
Yeah, because she's right there.
Or Aegon will be named the Sixth.
He'll be stylized Aegon the Sixth. He'll be anointed and crowned.
After he's released, that he's known that he's fake, what would you probably call like Aegon the Imposter or something?
Aegon the Imposter.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Aegon the Imposter. And then, in the books, Jon would then be Aegon the Seventh. You go back to George's numbers with
Seven kingdoms.
The seventh of his name. It would fit a lot better. It fits that way in the books. Mm-hmm. That Jon would then be
Aegon the Seventh.
Aegon the
Savior. Aegon the whatever.
Whatever he's entitled. In the show, you would probably get off calling him the Sixth of his name, but in the books, since they're going to name.
Well, I doubt they'll even say Aegon
the Seventh.
Yeah. Like if he's crowned, I don't think that they're going to have.
They might, though. Mm-hmm. I was just saying, they might give him a title. They'll just say the sound of his name, although it'll be a plot hole.
Yeah.
Just that not bring it up, but it'll probably be for the show press, it would be the Sixth of his name. And then when you kind of like went to something I was also thinking just real quick, and I was going to ask you a question. Of all the characters that have been on the show that are still alive in the books, which one that they did wrong that should still be alive? And I know you're going to get an answer.
Wait.
Which one do you think the show should not have killed off?
Up until now. That should
still be alive in the show.
You think I'm going to say Stannis?
Yeah.
And I would have said Stannis, but the way I'm looking at the show is, for the show to work as it's been working, Stannis needs to be dead. Jon Snow needs to have won the Battle of the Bastards. The differences that work for Song of Ice and Fire would not work in Game of Thrones. So if Stannis is going to beat Ramsay Bolton, and I think that he will, I'm not saying he'll live, I'm not saying he won't burn Shireen, I'm not saying any of that, but I do think he's going to defeat Ramsay Bolton. I don't think Ramsay Bolton's going to defeat Stannis. That'll work in A Song of Ice and Fire. You're still going to rally behind Jon. You need Jon still to win the Battle of the Bastards, but you don't need that in the Song of Ice and Fire. So I'm okay that Stannis is dead in Game of Thrones. Now, as far as which character...
Yeah, it's been on the show. If you can't just be on my wall, we really need Bane in there.
It's been on the show that's dead.
Yeah.
That should still be alive.
I have mine.
I want to say Ser Barristan Selmy, but honestly, with the direction Game of Thrones has gone in, it's worked without him. And he didn't get a fair shake from the get-go, so I don't think I'm going to say him either. So then where does that leave us? I'm going to say Rickon Stark, because you didn't need to kill him to make Ramsay any more evil than he was. There was like 3 or 4 deaths over the course of season 6 that Ramsay did not need, and he still would have been the fucking worst human being in the history of Westeros. I think having Rickon around series 7, I think it would have been more of a feel-good feeling at Winterfell with the reuniting of the Starks, because it felt empty. Especially with Bran not being Bran, and Arya and Sansa being either at odds or fake at odds for the whole season, it didn't feel like the Stark reunion that, you know what, we deserved after so many years. Rickon there, I think, would have made that better. One of my favorite chapters in The Dance of Dragons is when Davos and Wyman Manderly and Ethan Glover find out that Rickon is at Skagos, and they ask Davos to go get him, and Wyman Manderly says, "I will bend the knee to your king if you go rescue my little lord." And just the thought of Rickon as the Lord of Winterfell from that point in time when I read that, it's just always one of the things that I really want to see. Rickon is the new king of the North. It's not going to happen, obviously, but I didn't think he needed to die there. And I don't think that Ramsay kills him in A Song of Ice and Fire, right?
He'd have to find a way to get captured by
Bolton. Dude, we're so far off from where the books left off. Like, you have no idea how they're... But I think Rickon. I don't think he needed to kill Rickon.
Okay. Barristan Selmy. Barristan Selmy.
I can agree with that.
And I tell you why it's Barristan, because I think they would have had more leeway. Well, I'm not even getting to the point that Dane would have a better succeed to battle.
She would have an easier time in Westeros was around, yeah.
He would have helped her with that a lot better. And they could have had a lot more stuff that they can use between Jon and Dany. Because when they have that meeting with Jon and Dany, when they're going back and forth, and Dany's on that thing, well, you know, your father was...
one of Robert's dogs.
Dogs wanted me dead. You could have ended it right there, that scene.
Yeah.
Or kind of ended it right there, where Dany is very... doesn't think of Jon as an enemy. But then Barristan Selmy comes in and says, "Your Grace, 1 minute, please.
Right.
One moment of your time. Let me tell you something about Eddard Stark. You're wrong about him. I want your nieces and nephew to be killed. He stormed out on Robert Baratheon because of that, because of what was done. And he threw down his title of Camp of the King because Robert Baratheon wanted you dead and your brother dead. He didn't want you dead. He stormed out. Eddard's a good man." Then the next scene that you see is the scene where Jon and Dany are outside, and then Dany's being more welcoming because to Jon.
She trusts Barristan Selmy.
She's trusting Barristan Selmy's words about Ned Stark. Like, this is Ned Stark's son. I'll hear him out better.
And then Barristan can get a better death in the Spoils of War episode. Instead of having Bronn push Jaime out of the way of the dragon fire at the last second, maybe Jaime is going to kill Daenerys, and Barristan Selmy gets in the way and saves her at the last second, and Jaime ends up killing Barristan Selmy where he didn't want to, and they can have kind of a little scene where Barristan says something to Jaime. I think that would have worked. Because you think about the Spoils of War, fucking the way Jaime was saved at the last second is probably my least favorite part of it, of that battle. It's so unrealistic. Whereas if he's going to go charge the dragon, but Barristan Selmy rides up and they have a duel instead of fucking the stupid shit at the end, and then Jaime kills Barristan, it would do a lot for Jaime's character, and it'd be pretty fucking... A complete circle of Barristan
say something like, I don't know, this is completely this is fan fiction right now. We're going which we all hate.
But it's smart fan fiction because
he can say something, "Don't forget your oath to the Targaryens," or something.
Or something. She's the rightful ruler of Westeros.
Jaime, it's not just her, there is another.
What?
You get like a completely Star Wars. You get like Jaime saying, "Well, she is the only Targaryen left." No, there is another.
No, there's another. Jaime's like, "What the fuck is he talking about?"
Here's the thing. Now that Jon's away from the Night's Watch, now Barristan could be like,
"Wait a second." Yeah.
Takes out the sword. Yeah. We're in this right now.
Where do you think Dark Sister is, and where do you think Blackfyre is right now? You think one of them's in the Crypts of Winterfell?
No. Dark Sister? I don't know. I thought the sword that... last year we saw Mira Reen have, but that kind of what that story that they had with they had the the pummel was kind of like a circular oval thing. I thought that could have been Dark Sister.
It's feasible that she could have gotten a hold of it.
Being in Blood Raven, yeah. Dirty, you know, whatever you want to call him.
Yeah.
Cave. And he's the last person we know who had it. Blackfire, in the books, the Golem Company has, and they're going to give it to Fagin to claim him as the Targaryen King. But since the show hasn't even mentioned the Blackfires, I asked a question to the person who came up with this. And 2010 when I came up with the video, Jon Snow's next sword. It was Tony's...
You've been disagreeing with Tony Teflon a little bit,
but this one's really cool.
Okay.
He noticed that the sword we see back in season one, that Viserys uses, you know, the sword we see a couple times.
Oh, yeah, you texted me this, yeah.
That sword looks quietly familiar to the sword that Rhaegar Targaryen had in the flashback in season 7.
Right.
The hilt, it looks exactly the same type of hilt. And his thinking was, well, okay, Rhaegar, that's Rhaegar's sword. Viserys got it because they must have taken it back from the Trident, and we'll see the sword again, perhaps, and then give it to Jon.
How would they get it back from the Trident? I mean, I know it doesn't.
Well, the rubies might have laid. This is regular sword.
I'm saying, why would they give it back to the Targaryens? Then, especially if they fled. I mean, you figure something out. It doesn't matter.
It might be a show thing, and this is why I kind of made thinking this. I proposed a question to Tony. He hasn't answered me back. I asked him. Do you think that this is going to be the show's version of Blackfyre? That since they didn't show any of the Blackfyre,
okay,
you know, the Golden Company having it,
okay,
they're just going to say that the sword that Viserys had was the sword that Rhaegar had, that is Blackfyre, that is the Targaryen King sword.
But is it going to be called Blackfyre, or do you think it'll be a different sword over here?
I would call it Blackfyre as an oath to the book readers.
Yeah.
Again, this would be show canon.
I mean, there was Blackfyre before there was House Blackfyre, so it's not, you know, it doesn't matter.
This would not be book canon that. The Blackfyre, I believe, is the Golden Company.
Okay.
He hasn't actually back yet. I'll hear his opinion on it. Now, where did the story go from the series?
And how do they bring it back into play?
They'll just bring it out here.
Well, I was going to say, when you said the Golden Company has Blackfyre to give to Fagin,
whether you give
the Euron or.
But that would be good. I don't think the show will do that because, well, maybe it will, but who knows? It would definitely, if they have it in the show, then. And they're going to give it a Euron. It's just kind of like definitely saying that Fagin is fake.
Because
you're just going to give it a Euron. He's has no connection to being Targaryen.
Right.
It's just going to be completely fake.
Yeah.
But that was my question to Tony. He hasn't answered back yet. I hope he does. That if that's the show's way of showing Blackfyre, is we're just going to have, well, look, Rhaegar had it. We gave it a series. And it's really meant for Jon. Although I do believe, and I'm going to segue to my next thing before we go.
Well, I got a couple stuff. We'll go through a couple news things.
The segue that I just think the next sword that Jon has, I definitely think that Jorah's going to do something to earn back Longclaw.
Even though he rejected it and said...
He's going to do something to get it back. And Tony was saying the same thing in this video. That he's going to do something. Something's going to happen and get the sword back. I knew even when I read the script for the episode season 7, I said, okay, Jorah declines it. It's setting up that in season 8 that he will get the sword back.
And he feels he deserves it this time.
Yeah.
And Jon has his own sword.
And Jon will have another sword. It's only built that way, Jon's going to get another sword. It's built because you follow the story to Aragorn.
Yeah.
He's going to get another sword. Just the matter is it going to be Blackfyre?
Or Dawn.
I feel like he's getting Dawn.
Yeah, I think so too.
A line in this season, I think, that kind of got overlooked was from Melisandre. And I think she was talking Volantis to Varys, or she was talking to Volantis about someone. And she said...
That'd be Varys, yeah.
That only the prince that was promised can bring the dawn.
Quote unquote, or are you paraphrasing?
That's quote unquote. Only the prince that was promised can bring the dawn.
Okay, interesting.
Jon is getting dawn. Somehow in the show, they're going to bring that sword back into play, and it's going to be dawn. It just has to be. Dawn has to
be. If it wasn't going to come back into play, they wouldn't have showed it.
Why do you show it, and it's not Luke's fan service? No. Why would you even bother showing it?
They didn't make enough field for it to be fan service. He didn't say, I'm going to put Dawn down. Hold on, man. Let me just put Dawn, the ancient sword of House Dane, down right here. That would be fan service. And you never see it. You go, oh, cool, Easter egg. But they just show it, and unless you're paying attention, you don't know that that's Dawn. That's not fan service. That's planting a seed. As we saw Benioff and Weiss do many times with like our Plazelle in the wall and at the Castle Black.
I just think he's got to get Dawn. That Dawn has to.
Yeah.
I don't buy... And once again, we have Sam Tarly saying that Jon is the one that's going to lead the war. I don't buy any other really Sora. I don't buy
no.
Oathkeeper. I don't buy that Janie is a Sora High. Because we're having it thrown in our faces that it's going to... The story is meant... We have it from Alan Taylor saying that through the when
right.
George was around, the cusp of the story was of John and Danny getting together. Yeah. It's not about Janie. No, I mean, not that Janie's not important.
No, he is, but it's not...
I just don't buy this whole entire... Oh, it's because he's... George's father, Ragnarok, and it's going to be Jamie that's going to be.
I'm so sick of hearing about Ragnarok.
I don't want to hear. We might be dead wrong. You could be dead wrong.
No, I'm excited about Thor Ragnarok, but Ragnarok's got nothing to do with A Song of Ice and Fire. And Jamie is my favorite character, and he's a main character.
But I just can't.
But he's not a main character. Like, Dany, Jon, and Tyrion are the main characters, show and books. Period.
I just see with Oathkeeper, it just. What about Widow's Wail then? I mean, you're breaking ice up. If you reforge them or something like that into one sword, maybe then you can say, now it's being reforged again.
That'd be a big ass sword.
If that gets reforged again to a different sword, then maybe I can start, okay, all right.
But the only problem with that is it's too big of a sword to fucking do anything with. That's like Ned beheaded people with it, but that's about all he did. He was bringing that fucking thing to battle.
You're going to beat the Knights King with a sword that's as big as a body. So I help me with this, please.
All right, Sansa, that is your Lady of Winterfell. This is your sword.
This guy, I just think that John's gonna get Dawn.
Yeah, I agree with you. A couple news notes: Kit Harington engaged to Rose Leslie. You knew about that, but
when are they gonna marry?
Doesn't say exactly, but they said that Kit Harington asked the producers to delay the production of season 8 a few days so that the entire cast can attend their wedding. I don't think it has any effect on when.
No.
Season 8.
Well, according to Davos. Our good friend Lee and Cunningham.
Always with the quotes.
Yeah.
Always with the quotes.
Always doing something. He's always saying something. And it appears that like they're going to film very long. Like they're not going to be done like early summer filming. They're going to go from like October now.
Well, what I heard is they'll be done in spring. Yeah, spring. So early summer, spring. And
filming.
There's no way we're getting this in 2018.
Oh, no. This is definitely 2000. This is a spring of 2019. Yeah.
And this other bit of news, which I thought was bad news in conjunction with that, but it's not really, because HBO subscription, it always increases when Game of Thrones starts airing, and then it decreases when it stops airing. It decreased. HBO revenue overall fell 22% with the end of season 5. It fell 40% with the end of season 6, but it only fell 7% with the end of season 7. So subscriptions have dropped far less than they did last year with season 6. And I don't know, maybe it's because of Westworld. Maybe it's because everybody's getting rid of cable. So they're just doing, you know, like HBO a la carte. I was all like, HBO doesn't want Game of Thrones to go away. They're going to not air it until 2019. This way they keep subscribers. But people do that anyway. They drop subscriptions when the season ends. I guess it's just a question of production. It's a question of getting it ready. You know, I mean, they want to air it. I doubt they would want to air it over the summer again. Not that it had any effect on ratings. People watch it anyway. It doesn't matter when they air it. They can find 6 weeks anywhere throughout the year to air this thing and have high ratings.
I'm going to say it's going to run from April 2019 into May. It'll be the Sunday before Memorial Day that ends.
I could also see March to April, but either one. Right in that end of March to middle of May.
Right.
Wheelhouse. Per episode production budget is $15 million now. And it was $10 million for season 7. So $15 million now. Plus, a big reason that production is slower is the second unit, the third unit. They don't need those units anymore because everybody's together. So it's just the first unit. And that's why production is taking so long. You're not filming multiple scenes at once. It's all, you know, basically one scene at a time. What's the other interesting? They're going to beef up security for season 8.
Yeah.
The digital security.
With the leaks. And this can go against the fact that the leaks that we saw in the summer were fake.
Yeah. Well, the leaks for episode for season 8, but the leaks, like the Spoils of War episode being
before. Yeah. They're also talking about script leaks, too. Mm-hmm. Even the actors.
Right.
I read something. Maybe you can make.
Yeah.
Stop me if I'm kind of wrong what I kind of read. They can only read their scripts when they're on set.
Right.
Like, it's going to be, like, digital, I guess.
That and they need they a personal set, passcode.
It shuts off.
Yeah. And they need a personal passcode to unlock it. And they can only unlock it while on set. And the passcode has changed, I think, daily. Like, they're going all out to make sure that nobody
They're doing the different endings. Now, I'm sure you're still going to see some people spying and taking pictures.
Yeah,
and
of course. Well, I mean, but there'll be spoilers. There'll be some sort of leaks.
Knowing this show, what we're going to get happening is we're going to get a freaking picture somehow out of Belfast of, like, John with the sword and the guy who played the Knights King. You see, like, John like this. Yeah, like, here it is. Here it is. Yeah. That's what's going to happen.
Daenerys, like, dead on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I read this last night again, but I was just thinking about it. I dug up old interview about George saying how, you know, pretty much it's going to end on a bittersweet ending. He was talking about Lord of the Rings, how he was heavily influenced, and how he never understood the burning of the Shire after what all happened. So,
wait, never understood
when he first read it until then he realized why it was important.
Oh, yeah.
So, you try and emulate Tolkien. So, I guess that the thinking is that the Night's King will be dealt with. And the show, I'm not sure, maybe the books will be different. If it's going to be Fagin, or if it's going to be Cersei, or if it's going to be Euron.
Dealt with after.
They'll be dealt. They're going to have to deal with them after. The Night's King will die, which still to me doesn't make any sense. But the Night's King will die first.
If you think about Lord of the Rings, the ultimate evil stopped. The realm is saved. Middle Earth is saved. They left Hobbiton. They left the Shire. And they were frightened. And they were essentially children going out into the world. And when they return from this journey, they're hardened hobbits who've killed men, who've been in battle. So they come back and like there's some people bigger than them, human-sized, man-sized people, men who are working for Saruman and who have taken over the Shire. And they're like, are you fucking kidding me? And they fucking just dispatch them immediately and then they go directly to Saruman. And the idea being that their journey, they've grown so much, they've seen so much, and they return as leaders for the Shire to make changes to the Shire, whatever it is. Sam ends up becoming the mayor of Hobbiton, but they come back and the things that they were afraid of before they left don't scare them anymore. And they have, with the exception of Frodo, they have happy lives for the rest of their lives. I don't know if it works as well because you've had all these books of like shit going down in Westeros. You can't compare the Westeros to Shire. They're like, they leave Shire at the beginning and deal with the conflict and they come back and they save the Shire and fix it. But it wasn't really broken before they left. You know, that was more of a personal thing. So is the implication that once Jon Snow defeats the Night King, should he defeat the Night King when he returns to Westeros, he could just set shit in order because he's defeated the Night King, so it's no problem? I kind of like the idea that Cersei, Fagon, Euron, somebody's still lingering after the Night King, and it's something that would have been a problem before Jon Snow dealt with the Night King, but it's not a problem for him now. He doesn't die fighting Euron at King's Landing like in the script leaks.
I'm hoping not. That was really bad. That was bad.
That was too depressing. Anything with Jon Snow dying is just, it's dumb.
If Jon did die, defending, you also have Jaime and the Hound also the same thing. Like, that's like so.
It was Jon, Jaime, and Jorah.
The Hound was.
The Hound and the spoilers. But not even spoilers. I can't even say they're fucking spoilers. Fake script leaks.
When that leak came out, the fake script leak came out, the Night King was dead and they didn't even realize. No, it wasn't even said.
They didn't even say that the Night King died.
They
were so fake
they had to go back there and go in there and change it.
Did they change it?
Yeah. And they said that Jon Snow killed the Night King. Someone revised it.
Drogon defeats Viserion, but that's it. And that's the last you hear about the Night King.
And then you just heard that he dies.
Yeah.
Well, the first thing that really made me really question it was the fact that, A, Hallen Reed was alive and was dead in two different episodes. They killed him twice.
They killed him twice, yeah.
Episode three was killed again. Yeah. The same league. It was the same plot.
He did absolutely nothing and dies in episode two. And then he talks about how his daughter's dead and confirms that John is taken.
Right. And I just think that Hallen is going to be all for John taking the realm. Taking the kingship. The way they put him in there, like, it wasn't like he was
just
old.
He was just another northern lord.
I guess I've always just felt like he's going to tell John, this is your right to claim. I don't think he's going to be like, you know, I killed Arthur Dayne, but I should have done it.
I always regretted killing Arthur Dayne that way. One or two more things I wanted to touch on. But did you hear about Game of Thrones the musical?
It's coming back. Yeah, it's coming back.
Yeah, Game of Thrones the musical.
Either October or November, it's coming to the Garden next year.
Oh, no, not the Ramin Djawadi tour. This is Game of Thrones the musical. It's coming to Broadway or off-Broadway.
Oh, God.
It's supposed to be like a comical take on it, so I don't know. The prequel, spin-off prequels. You can't really call them spin-offs if they're prequels. They're prequels. Jane Goldman finished a pilot script for one of the prequels, and she's responsible for two X-Men movies, X-Men First Class and X-Men Days of Future Past, which I think are two of the better X-Men movies, but she doesn't say what her idea is. Nobody's saying what their idea is at all.
Well, you know, it's very complicated right now.
Well, we know that it's going to be a period of history that we recognize, that readers recognize.
I have to, as we said last week,
Aegon's Conquest,
it's
right?
Gotta be. Yeah. That has to set everything up. You can't do like Dance of Dragons without Aegon.
Well, that's the thing.
And then you go back again.
It's interesting as hell. It's got characters we already know, Torrhen Stark.
Right. Two female leads, which you know people are going to like. Mm-hmm. Female leads.
And dragons. Dragons is another key thing. That's a key thing. It's got to have dragons.
The name Aegon again, as I said, it'll be fresh on people's minds.
Right. And if it does well,
then you could do all the fucking series that you want. You could just keep doing that series. After the Conquest, Aegon after the Conquest. You know, Aegon's sons, Vigo the Cruel. You could keep going because that's the starting point of Targaryen history in Westeros. If not Aegon's Conquest, Dance of Dragons, story of the civil war between Aegon II and his half-sister Rhaenyra over Viserys the First Crown. Really good stuff, but it's got a definitive starting point and ending point, and it would be too complicated to pick up. First Blackfyre Rebellion work, but there's been no mention of Blackfyres existing in Westeros Light, in the HBO Westeros, mm-hmm. So Blackfyres.
So you have to do something in the first to set that up, set up a Blackfyre, up, you know.
It's got to be something that, yeah, it's a prequel, but there have to be recognizable things from Game of Thrones for it to work. Young Dragon's Conquest of Dorne, King Daeron first Targaryen and his 4-year invasion of Dorne, because that's 4 years worth of, you know, material, and it's pretty good stuff. But again, how do you pick up with something like that? Sons of the Dragon was real good, bro. I'm telling you. Could be a TV show if they're just loosely basing it on this history and then they're going to hammer home the exact details. Plus, the main conflict, Aenys and Maegor, but it's also Maegor and the Faith of the Seven in Westeros. It tells the story of Aegon Targaryen's two sons, Aenys and Maegor, their conflict with each other, and their conflict with the Faith of the Seven as Westeros comes to terms with being ruled by the Targaryens. So, dude, it's got to be Aegon's Conquest. Like, nothing else works without Aegon's Conquest. And anything non-Targaryen, non-dragon, is not going to get put to series. Dragons are a must. I have to think dragons are a must, especially with the record-breaking viewership of Season 7. Season 8 will have record-breaking viewership. We'll have full-fledged dragons, CGI. It's got to have dragons. I'm willing to bet a lot of money that it's Aegon's Conquest. You got anything newsworthy?
No, I've been trying to stay away from. I can't stand these clickbait articles. So I don't even read them anymore. A lot of it's all nonsense.
Oh yeah, I mean,
it's just.
Yeah, you see an article, George Martin, new Westeros book. You know, it's not The Winds of Winter. So you're not going to buy The Sons of the Dragon. You're not going to buy Book of Swords. But if Fire and Blood is out before Winds of Winter, you're not going to.
No.
Nice, bro. I wish I had your power.
Not doing it. Winds of Winter must be running out first before I read anything else from him.
What about Duncan Egg?
Again, I still have to read the other Duncan Egg before I even read the other Duncan Egg.
I don't think a new Duncan Egg, because he hasn't even started working on a new Duncan Egg.
Yeah, then we know of. I'm telling you, by January 1st, 2018.
George, are you writing The Winds of Winter? He's like, I am definitely writing a Westerosi story, yes. And I
worked the last 4 months straight on this.
Paris, like The Shining.
I think someone killed him.
Paris comes in, it's like The Shining. Work, no play, except she keeps going through all of his writing and his old fucking egg and fucking prequels and fake histories and no Winds of Winter.
If he does like a little tour night, a little like book reading or something, because he has no idea his words mean. The good news is I do have a book that is completed that my readers in the audience would love. It's called Duncan Egg.
Fucking kill you, man. Hey,
you're done.
Ruined my life. All those years wasted. We know production started, right?
Yeah. Well, they're all getting down there now.
Okay. I got one question.
What's that?
When Game of Thrones is said and done, final episode is aired, it's a few months later, and these actors all embark on the next part of their careers. It's not really relevant because of the Star Wars sequel trilogy, but who's the Harrison Ford? Who's the Mark Hamill? Which actor is having the most successful career post Game of Thrones? Not counting Peter Dinklage, who was already probably the best-known small-person actor before Game of Thrones started. Make it easier. Kit Harington or Harrison Ford, or is he a Mark Hamill?
Someone's debating right now. Yeah. I don't want to be Mark Hamill, but I think the actor that might come out... The thing is, why I see that is, if you go back to Seasons 1 and 2, Kit has really
improved. He's gotten a bit, yeah.
He's absolutely really improved, yeah. So I kind of hope for his sake that he can find some stuff. And I hope he bridges that to something that's... not like Pompeii, which just seemed like it was...
No, but that was a high budget movie. That,
right, but you don't want to do it like the same type of medieval setting type thing. Because he's in a
form. You want to be typecast. Yeah.
Right. Oh, there's Kit Harington. He's playing. Yeah. Oh, look, Give him a sword. What he does.
Kit Harington with a sword. The movie.
Could Nicolai Casaroldo be Harrison Ford?
He could be, but he's old.
I was going to bring that up. I was just going to say, is he a little bit too old, though, for it right now? Like, he's been around. He's been acting for a while. He's been in stuff for a while.
And he's been getting better work, higher budget work too. Right. Not that they're
great movies, but he's getting to work. He's a proven actor. And when Game of Thrones is over and he can just focus on movies, I think he'll get better movies. He'll be in an upper echelon, but his career isn't getting that much bigger.
Kit Harington tends to be Harrison Ford. It's Emilia Clarke, Mark Hamill.
Yes. That's the connection. One of them is going to be successful. The other one isn't going to be successful.
Right now, until the Game of Thrones. Emilia Clarke is on a bad... Yeah. I think it depends on that Star Wars movie does, I guess.
I know. Yeah.
I got a bit, and we talked about it before. I'll defend it a little bit. I got a bad feeling that this Han Solo movie is going to be one that's going to be very
tricky.
Tricky. It's going to be criticized a lot by the Han Solo fanboys out there. Okay? And we all know who we're talking about. There's a lot of Han Solo fanboys out there that, you know, oh, the prequels suck because there's no Han Solo in it, you know. If this movie is not good, I have a feeling some of the blame will be once again will be put on Emilia Clarke. A lot of the blame could have been on Sega Genesis.
May as well have been Sega Genesis.
On Terminator Genesis. Yeah. And I didn't watch the movie. I had no intention of watching that movie.
It's not that bad.
Because I just... Another Terminator movie. But they blame her for the failure. I think the blame on it could be her agent for saying, yeah, you should do this, Emilia. Right.
The reboot in Terminator. Dude, they're redoing Terminator 3. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, you were telling me that they're not even mentioning Genesis at all, right?
No Genesis and no Terminator 3 Rise of the Machines. They're going to do Terminator 3 focused on Sarah Connor with fucking Linda Hamilton, who looked like a fucking skeleton at age whatever she did, T2.
What?
James Cameron's producing it. Somebody else is directing it. But this is James Cameron's taking ownership of the whole thing in between doing Avatar 3, 4,
I guess he's feeling like, listen, guys, we're going to do this. I better get involved because this has now just gone to shit.
Yeah. It goes to shit because you don't need anything past Terminator 2.
You don't. It'll never Sorry, be. Patrick. Sorry.
Yeah.
Terminator 2 ended it perfectly.
Perfectly. Damaging franchises by carrying the shit on.
Because Hollywood has nothing else.
Apparently.
They have nothing else to do.
Terminator's been rebooted. Like, this will be the fourth time it's rebooted, or third time it's rebooted. Okay, does Bran ever work again after Game of Thrones is done?
No. He might be in some dumb stuff, but no. I don't see anyone taking a flyer on him.
Honestly, gun to my head, I think Macy Williams may end up getting the most and the highest profile work after Game of Thrones. Even though I don't like her as much as when she was younger, and I'm not as big a fan of the Arya Stark TV character, a lot of people are. A lot of people love Arya, and they attribute Macy Williams to her. She already gets a lot of work, dude, and like a lot of work in well-known properties. She's in the New Mutants, which I think will do well, and I think she'll be able to parlay that into a bigger Hollywood career. I think Sophie Turner will do all right if she doesn't, you know, end up overdosed or whatever. But Emilia Clarke, I think she may have to go back to rom-coms. British romantic comedies with Hugh Grant. I think that's where she's got to go. I really hope Kit Harington does well afterwards. I really do. I think he's capable of it. But it depends on the kind of decisions that he makes.
He's had a good sense of humor. Man. I love him. We talk about the HL Tennant thing. He played off his own. This Jon Snow, like, mopiness.
Yeah.
And it came out so funny.
And just the way he's played Jon Snow has been fucking... better and better and better. You know, it's like Sean Astin with Samwise Gamgee, how he like grew into the role and got better and better and better with it.
Oh, I hated him in that. I actually hated him in that. Really? Yeah. I mean,
it's cheesy as hell. And like, yeah. I
hated Sean Astin because of red carpet Sean Astin. Like, it all went to his head. Like, the whole time it was just Lord of the Rings.
Well, I was Samwise Gamgee.
Yeah, I'm Lord of the Rings, best, you know, breaks together, Lord of
the
Rings.
The guy that had the ring, I was his best friend.
Yeah.
He hasn't done anything since then.
No, he hasn't. I haven't seen any. They've been talking about the Goonies reboot or whatever they're going to do for so long.
Please. Just leave it alone. Showed Frank the Goonies. And kind of like, I don't never saw it either, so I showed him both the Goonies. They loved it. And Frank he's a modern day kid. He can't sit through like old special effects. But dude, he loved the fucking Goonies. And the Goonies is great. Don't fuck with it. Leave it. Leave it be.
Yeah, they better leave that. They better leave Willow. And they better leave the Princess Bride alone. Leave it alone.
Dude, I don't know about a reboot, but Disney has all those properties now. They have all the Lucasfilm properties. So Willow is out there. And with the success of Game of Thrones, I think that's what I read. Was somebody monologuing on the idea that, why not use Willow? I mean, they own the property and Game of Thrones is super successful.
Hey, Peter Dinklage, we got Warwick Davis.
And you know what? Like, watching Willow now, the one thing that's, I mean, it's pretty glaring, but what's wrong with it is it's too big of a story for 2 hours. So why not make a Willow TV series?
Oh, no. You have to have Val Kilmer. Listen, Mad Mardigan made that. It was Val Kilmer.
Sean Astin as Mad Mardigan.
Yeah.
Last Jedi trailer?
Very good.
Really good, right?
Yeah. Good John Williams score.
Yeah. I wasn't that big on his music in The Force Awakens, a lot of just the older stuff. I think it was Ray's theme.
Ray's theme was really good.
Yeah, but it sounds like he's on point this time.
Yeah, hopefully. And that's funny, because it seemed like in episode 2, he was a little bit off. And I felt like episode 3 score, he was like really on. Like,
Well, the main themes for those, like, the Duel of the Fates is awesome.
I love Across the Stars. I love the but, like, Let the Middle Ages Stay Alive. Episode 3, I mean, it was just like, what was Anakin's Dark Deeds, Battle of the Heroes.
How did that one go?
God, I can't do it right now.
I gotta find it, dude.
I like Battle of the Heroes better than Duel of the Fates.
Which one?
Battle of the Heroes.
That, is that the main theme for Revenge of the Sith? Is
That's the main. That's the one they did the music video for. That was... I can't do it. I'm going to completely butcher it and sound like an idiot. Stuff's a little violent, I think.
That's right.
I like that.
That's right. And it's a playoff Duel of the Fates.
Yeah.
And even a little bit, even a little bit of Across the Stars. That nothing like that in The Force Awakens. And I think he did a better job in the prequels also playing off the Imperial March into the droid bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Not the same effort he put into the prequels. But I did like Rey's theme, and it does sound like it's going to be better stuff in The Last Jedi. I think I'm more excited for The Last Jedi than I was for The Force Awakens. A lot of that's because Luke Skywalker's in this.
Yeah.
I like Han Solo, I like Harrison Ford, but I was not a Han Solo guy. Definitely a Luke Skywalker guy.
I saw it on YouTube. I didn't click on it because I didn't want to get Harrison. Good old Harrison, he had a song. It was just a picture I saw. I didn't see the video. And it was just like, Han Solo's dead. Yay. He's like...
Yeah, that's the only way they got him to do The Force Awakens.
Harrison, you want to do it? No. He dies. Sign me up.
I'm in.
How much money? Good.
I don't need a script. I'm in.
The best line he had in that movie that I thought was funny is when Rey's like, I'll be your co-pilot. I already got one.
Yeah.
They choose the battery. Like,
or when they get to the planet that he's like, our friends are out there. We need to get down the shields. We'll use the force.
That's not how the force works. What did you used to do down there? I was cleaning up the sanitation. That was good. That was the way you said sanitation. That's not how the force works. Yeah. Now, in the Han Solo movie,
right.
I was thinking about this the other day. What I don't want to see, I guess me and we're going to see it. I don't want to see the ending. I don't want to see him on Tatooine.
You don't want to see an ending where A New Hope...
Oh, look, he's on Tatooine, you know. I want to be left open. He's got other adventures to do. Where he's, you know, he's out there still smuggling still.
I don't want to see Darth Vader, as much as I like Darth Vader.
No, I don't want to see Darth Vader. I'm sure I'm going to see Boba Fett.
I think we're going to see Darth Vader, too. To be honest with you, I think they're just going to put Darth Vader in every fucking possible movie. To make a successful Han Solo movie, it's got to be a lot of comedy. It's got to be a... rip-roaring adventure, but not that epic. The stuff I didn't like about Rogue One was it was like they were making it too epic. Make it like Marvel's success. Genre movies with comic book characters. Do a genre movie with Star Wars characters. So Han Solo will work better as a heist flick. Don't make the stakes that big. Don't give it such weight, and it'll be more entertaining. No matter how much weight you give it, we know Han Solo's going to live. We know Lando Calrissian's going to live. We know Chewbacca's going to live. We know all these guys are going to live. And everything's going to be okay for them. We know that. So don't give it that much weight because it's bullshit.
Right.
Make it fun. The director change for that bothers me because the two guys that are doing it, as opposed to Ron Howard. Ron Howard with his fucking epic race car movies and epic whaling movies. He can swoop in and he can save a production, sure. And I don't hate Ron Howard. But the vibe they were going with the other guys, I think, was better. Problem was they were trying to do comedy and the guy playing... I was going to say the guy playing Harrison Ford. The guy playing Han Solo, who looks like Harrison Ford, just couldn't do it. He didn't know what the fuck they were doing. So he complained, and one thing led to another.
Now, are we going to get the point? You said we can't have a Han Solo movie.
You got the point.
Got to have the point. Who's ever playing Han, you better get the point.
If he doesn't do the point, he'll never work in Hollywood again.
You find this man. Yeah. You find this man. Yeah.
This is the man that killed my wife. Get off my plane. If he doesn't do the point, they should have like a bonus scene at the end where like Harrison Ford just fucking slaps him and then points at him. Obi-Wan movie. Where's that at? I think it's official.
Can't wait.
I don't think Hugh McGregor's officially attached yet, but he's going to... They wouldn't dare.
You know what? Maybe out of if he is not Obi-Wan, maybe out of principle, I will not watch it.
Yeah, I
will not. I am not watching a Batman series where the character is always different. Right. Not doing it. Right. Do you hear me, Disney?
But if he came back to do just a couple lines for The Force Awakens...
He said he would do it. Yeah. He's been on multiple times. And Ewan's been a lot spoken about like the prequels a little bit. So you always felt that he would do it. But only he came back.
But he loves the character.
I will do it.
And those movies did a lot for him, too. It took him up a level. Pay grade and notoriety.
I will say this. If they do the Obi-Wan movie and it is Ewan McGregor, it has to premiere. Today is May 16th, I believe. 2020, because May 16th, three Ewan McGregor movies have premiered. Episodes 1 and 3.
Okay.
And Angels and Demons.
Okay.
Three movies like, have premiered on that
Ewan
day.
McGregor Day.
It's Ewan McGregor Day. I mean, it's episode 2. There's like three movies that had premiered on that same day.
I think you're right about episode 3. I think it was episode 3.
Two of the three stories premiered on the same day. The same date. And then Angels and Demons premiered on the same date.
6 years apart, right? Episode 1 and episode 3?
Yeah. And what's funny about the movie Angels and Demons, which
I never saw it. Better than the other one? Not the one that just came out, the first one.
The first one, it's up there. A lot of people don't like it. I like it. I guess the first one's a little better.
Okay.
The first one had Ian McKellen as the guy that turns on Tom Hanks, Gandalf.
Yeah.
The second one, it's Ewan McGregor, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yeah. I don't know who's that, fantasy actor. But also... Definitely not spooky or anything, but Angel Demons was about the Illuminati and all that.
Right.
When I was coming out of the movie theater that day, I'm going up, I'm making a left on the Sunrise Highway, or America where the road was, and there's a place on Sunrise Highway called a lamp place called Illuminations. I just thought that was funny. it's the Illuminati.
Oh, shit.
Illuminatus.
It's a base. Illuminations. You didn't see the third one? You didn't see Inferno?
I didn't see, no. Is it?
It was in theaters. Fucking totally bombed. I'm not sure if it's out on video yet.
No, I'll probably watch it because it's something about Tom Hanks I do like.
Oh, dude, I love Tom Hanks. To see a movie in the theater, pay money, and...
I was thinking the other day, things have been waiting for the next couple of years in terms of excitement. Obviously, now the next thing coming up is Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Okay? After that, 2018, you have Han Solo movie. You have Infinity Wars.
Yeah.
Would be up after that. Right now... Turn excited level, I will put Infinity Wars ahead of Han Solo movie. Because I just don't know what to expect that Han Solo movie.
It's tricky.
Then, I mean, this is midsummer now. Do we get Winds of Winter?
I don't know.
I mean, do we get Winds of Winter 2018?
I don't know. I really don't know, dude.
Every year I always have to get, I'm going to say no, we're not getting it. I'm saying we're not getting it.
I'm going to say that too. Because every year I've been like, we got to get it this year.
And we never get it. So right. I'm going to go.
Change up our thinking.
Reverse psychology.
Yeah.
We're not getting Winds of Winter 2018.
Right.
So the next big thing after that is Game of Thrones finale.
Season 8, yeah. Final episodes.
And then after that would be Infinity Wars.
Yes.
And then after that is the last Star Wars movie. Episode 9.
That winter, right.
2019.
Infinity Wars is May of 2018. So then Game of Thrones is... Say March, April, 2019.
It's going to be Last Jedi, then it's going to be Han Solo.
Yeah.
Then Infinity Wars. Right. If there's no Winds of Winter, then we're going to go back. We're going to be way there.
All around.
Game of Thrones season finale, series finale.
Yeah.
Then I think there's when Infinity Wars 2.
Yep, they're coming out year after year. Yeah.
Year after year. Again, 2019, no Winds of Winter, you're going to have...
Star Wars Episode 9.
Episode 9. And then 2020, you have Obi-Wan movie. That's really going to be it. I know a lot of Marvel fans are really excited for a lot of the other movies. I'm just not really...
Yeah, honestly, they don't have a whole lot on their docket. They have Infinity War 1 and 2. In between that, they have Ant-Man sequel. They have Captain Marvel. And the only movie they have planned post-Infinity War 2 is Spider-Man 2. which would be the first one for the new phase, but they're not going to do phases anymore. And they say in the whole Marvel universe is going to be different after those movies. Chris Evans, Robert Downey Jr., Chris Hemsworth, these guys can't possibly, all of them, be around after Infinity War 2. And if nobody dies in these movies, then there's absolutely no stakes. They're fun, but how can you take anything seriously? But that's it. Last thing to ask you before we go. Episode 9, changing directors. You don't care too much?
No. I mean, it seems a little, well, why are they doing that? Suspicious, maybe, or something. Like,
yeah. They have a specific story, and I think that Colin Trevorrow was not fitting in with that. Or his movie's bomb. I don't mind them firing him. What I don't know if I like is bringing back J.J. Abrams. And not that I don't like him, but...
Too safe?
Way too safe. The Force Awakens was A New Hope. Switched around a little bit. He's not bad, but... Honestly, I would have rather seen George Lucas come back and write
that. I would love it.
It was so good.
I would love it. I would call Patrick every day. Pat, George Lucas directing episode 9. Hell yes, hell yeah news.
Take that. He's so fucking awesome.
Oh my god.
He uses like a secret name.
Oh, like, I love it.
Who's this guy, Luke George, that's directing?
Oh, I love it. Oh my god.
It's me.
Rip McCallum comes back on executive producer. Oh, I would totally love it. Oh my god. His first thing he does, like, he's like, Anthony Daniels, I heard you bash me. You're not coming back.
You're out. Meanwhile, Anthony Daniels hears that he's coming back, so he's like going to bash at everybody else. It's like,
when I was on there, Ryan Johnson, I just couldn't get along with him. He was just so not the right director for a Star Wars movie. And J.J. Abrams, as good as he did in episode 7, looking back on it, it really wasn't all that good. George is back, and I love him.
He just didn't understand the character C-3PO. Watching Jaws with Carol and Frank the other day, too, and I started doing, it's me, Richard Dreyfuss. I was like, what are you doing?
Oh,
my God.
Oh, I saw a good thing on YouTube about George Lucas and say what you want. I mean, he was really giving to these guys.
Dude, he has every right in the world to be bitter. I mean,
no, it wasn't even about that. Some guys wanted his autograph.
Okay.
And then, like, they openly knew that they were going to sell it. And George is like, I'm not selling. Just go on YouTube and look it up. And he goes off. I mean, and these guys would not leave him alone. He's driving in his car and he's driving away, but it's like traffic. So he's in the passion scene, and there's still time. And George is like, have enough, because I'm not signing. Why not? I'm a big fan. I'm not giving you an autograph. I only give out autographs to people I know are going to cherish it. Because he knew, like, right away, they would get his autograph, eBay, or, you know, whatever, and sell it. And I was really cringe, right? Like, dude, give it a high. First off, where's, like, security and say, listen, get over here. You're gone.
Disney bought his security.
Yeah.
No more security. I'm glad he sold to Disney. I'm glad that they're making new movies. I'm glad that he doesn't have complete control over it, because I don't think he could handle that. But I don't hate the prequels. They were disappointing. They were disappointing movies, but nothing was ever going to meet our expectations. They're not as bad. They're not nearly as bad as...
Popular thing is to say, although all the prequels suck. That's the popular thing.
I'm telling you, 10 years, it won't be. 10 years, the prequels would be more popular, I bet you, than even the sequel trilogy. People love the prequels. Young people. He tried to do everything himself. He thought he was Michael Jordan, and he wasn't. And I think by episode 3, he knew that he wasn't. Get Steven Spielberg's help. It is what it is. But the hate that he gets for it, people saying that you ruined my life. No. If that's your life, if Star Wars is your life, he didn't ruin it. He gave it to you. And just because you don't like the shit that he did afterwards, the prequel, don't watch it. But if that's your life, where this guy makes this,
when he said two to one of these guys, well, if you want, you know, like, he said something, you go out and you write something you want to do. Go ahead, you have the ability.
Yeah, by all means, go make your own Star Wars, or go get a deal with Disney, reboot the fucking prequels. Do whatever you want. You do it. Good luck. It's not like he's George Martin. Like, when episode 2 comes out, here's what's going to happen. It's going to be really good. He set a schedule and he fucking made the movies and he made it happen and he put them all out and everybody went to see them. People didn't like the first one. They all came out to see the second one. They don't like the second one. They all came out to see the third one. So do they really not like them? Or is it just they weren't as good as the original trilogy? To blame it all on one man, to hate him for the prequels? You can't hate him for the prequels because he gave you the original trilogy. It's an oxymoron. Well, it would have been better if this... Well, you didn't make it. He made it. And he thought it would have been better this way. Want to knock it? That's fine. But don't tell me that you hate it. Don't tell me it ruined your life. Don't say that you hate George Lucas, because it's bullshit. You don't. Fuck J.J. Abrams. George Lucas should do episode 9.
Oh, I would love it.
Just let him direct it. I have to write it. Let him direct it. And I'm sure Rick McCollum could use the work too. Hi, guys. Find us on Facebook. Facebook.com/ThePrincess, The Promise Princess. Twitter at Princess Promise. The Princess That Were Promised at WordPress.com. The Promise Princess at ActionPackPodcast.com. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Castify. Tell a friend. Please leave a review. And we will speak with you really soon. Bum, 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 bum,